But we're going to have a conversation with God. And I believe today that when you walk through those doors, we all have needs in our life, aren't we? Don't we? I mean, don't we all have needs in our life? I believe that God is the need meter, and that what I share is going to meet you at your place of need. I can share one scripture and it'll mean something to Peggy, but it'll mean something completely different to Robert. And the Word of God will answer what you have need of. Because we just sang about it, right? All of His promises are what?
Yes
and amen. Yes and amen. If you are believing according to the Word of God, you can be rest assured that His answer is going to be yes and amen. So, the key is believing according to the Word of God then, right? Last week we talked about destiny. We've been talking a little bit about destiny and reigning and ruling. And you know what I love about God? He dropped this word into my heart just this morning. And I hope I convey what He showed me. Anybody know what a mosaic is? You ever seen a mosaic? Has anybody ever made a mosaic? Yeah? The cool thing, and one way of making a mosaic is you take all these broken pieces. Right? I know some mosaics use formed pieces, but you can take all these broken pieces, whether it be pottery or glass or metal, you know, whatever the material is. But you take all these broken pieces and you put it together and you arrange it in a certain way. And it turns into something beautiful. Something beautiful. And I thought about that today. Aren't we all broken in some way? We are all broken pieces. And when we come together as a body, God brings together all of our broken pieces and puts it together into something beautiful. And He calls it the church. The church is something beautiful. We are meant to be beautiful. We are meant to be beautiful to the world. And you know, that's why, you know, where He says He takes the foolish things of the world and confounds the wise. The world can't understand. How can He use that broken person and that broken person? And I know that person's got that going on in their life. And I know they've done that in their past. I know what their parents are like. I know what kind of family they come from. How can that take that kind of broken person? Why should I believe in something that it doesn't make sense to the world? But God takes your brokenness and my brokenness and brings it together into a body. The body of Jesus. And it's something glorious. It's something beautiful. Taking the broken things and making something beautiful of it. One of the definitions of a mosaic is composed of a combination of diverse elements. We're all diverse. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents. We all have, we all look different, right? We all walk different. But God takes all of our differences and puts them into His body and makes something beautiful out of it. Isn't that glorious? You know, and so when we're talking about what our destiny is, and we're talking about ruling and reigning in life, some of us think, how? How can I rule and reign? Because I am broken. I've done this in my life. I come from this. How can, I don't think that way. How can God use me? How can I even consider ruling and reigning because of this? Because it's not by you, but it's by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes. The blood has made you righteous. The blood has given you right standing with God. The blood has allowed you to go to the Father, go into the Holy of Holies, climb up in His lap, and have a conversation with Him. We no longer have to go through a mediator, because Jesus is our mediator and His blood covers us. And now we have complete access. And with complete access, we have complete authority. Just what God intended when He created Adam, and we just read it in Genesis, that breath of life inside of us, the authority that it gives us. Amen? So we shared ruling and reigning is your destiny. We've been talking about destiny. What does that look like to you? What does that look like to you? Because it can be different for each one of us. It can be different for each one of us. I copied a couple of quotes. I'll get it straight. I can't say that thing, Pastor Rob used to say. My tongue got twisted around my something. Eye tooth and tangled up and spit it out wrong. I don't know what it was. We'll get it next week, I'm sure. Lynn Hammond says, we gain access to higher realms of responsibility and privilege by our ruling and reigning over the things God gives us. Let me repeat that. We gain access to higher realms of responsibility and privilege by our ruling and reigning over the things God gives us. We increase by ruling and reigning over the things God gives us. And we shared the scripture, 1 Timothy, I believe it was last week, about you have to rule and reign your own house, you know, before He can trust you with the church or the house of God. I mean, we read that, and we need to rule and reign our own house. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're to rule and reign this house, the house of God, before we can go on to, what'd she say, higher realms of responsibility and privilege. And then another quote by her says, you were born to reign with Jesus. You are ambassadors of heaven. Let the truth of that work in you until your prayers resound with the authority of heaven itself. Let that truth, what truth? That you were born to reign with Jesus. We talk about being ambassadors for Christ all the time. We talk about being His representatives in the earth, don't we? Let the truth of that work in you until your prayers resound with the authority of heaven itself. And we just read, we were created to rule and reign, to have complete authority in this world, in this earth realm. Amen? Turn to Romans 8:16. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you that you are to rule and reign just as God created. Listen, God hasn't changed, right? We've heard that phrase over and over. God's the same. Yes. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He created Adam to have dominion, to rule and reign, and gave him complete authority, listen, He hasn't changed His mind. He hasn't looked down and said, oh, those people can't get it. They don't know. They're crazy. And just quit. No. He hasn't done that. It is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still intends for us to rule and reign, to have authority in this earth over everything, the fish, the fowl, the things, the creepy things. We're to have authority. Anybody afraid of worms? Snakes? Come on now. He's given you authority. Especially over that one. Yeah. Especially. You know, I believe there are probably more people afraid of snakes than there are anything else in the world. Why do you think that? It's not a coincidence. The serpent. The deceiver. But you have nothing to fear. Because He's given you complete. Complete. Somebody say complete. Is there anything lacking in complete? Complete authority in this earth. Complete authority. It hadn't changed. It hadn't changed. Did y'all make it to Romans 8 yet? Romans 8, verse 16 says this: "The Spirit Himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. And if we are His children, then we are His heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him. Only we must share His suffering if we are to share His glory." But then He clarifies that. He says, "But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. For even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. For the creation, that is nature, was subjected to frailty, to futility, condemned to frustration, not because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of Him who so subjected it, yet with the hope that nature, creation itself, will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. Oh, we know that the whole creation of irrational creatures has been moaning together in the pains of labor until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves too, who have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of the blissful things to come, groan inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies from sensuality in the grave, which will reveal our adoption, our manifestation of God's sons. For in this hope we are saved. But hope, the object of which is seen, is not hope. For how can one hope for what he already sees? But if we hope for what is still unseen by us, we wait for it with patience and composure. So too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance." And we were learning about that today in prayer class. And we are doing something in prayer class. We're going to start recording these. And I believe, if it be God's will, we're going to put them up for people to listen to. Because we're covering some good ground. And it's too important in this season that the church is in for people to go without the knowledge and understanding that we're gaining. So we want to make that, we want to offer that to people. That is not a license to not come to prayer class. Because we say this all the time, right? I mean, you draw. You listen, when I'm up here, whoever's up here, they would say the same thing. You put a draw. You put a demand on what's inside of them. And so as we attend that class back there, we're putting a draw on Wanda or Kelvin or whoever is ministering. And there are some, it's good stuff coming forth. And so we thought it too important to just let that go by the way. So you're going to get to partake of some of that, I believe, as we move forward. But what we were talking about this morning was so key. Talking about, and it just mentioned it right there, groaning in the Spirit. And we were talking about restoration and restoration in your body. Your body needing repaired. Your body needing stuff. And how praying in the Holy Spirit can bring that about. And they want to touch on that scripture that when one prays in tongues, one edifies himself. And she expounded on that word edify. And without reading the actual definition she gave, it's talking about building up a house, rebuilding, bringing restoration. What were some other words? Repairing. And we were talking about if you need repairing in your body, right? Listen, you may know something's wrong, but you may not know exactly what it is. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are edifying yourself. You are rebuilding your body. You are repairing your body. God is repairing, I should say, your body. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, it's a beautiful gift. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the gift of tongues, it's a beautiful gift that's been given to us, the church, for our edification. And she shared a bunch more, and we recorded this one, so maybe you'll get to listen to it if all went well and we get it up on the website. But very important, very important. But to get back to this, you are an heir. You have authority. Jesus said it was finished on the cross. Everything that you have need of was finished when Jesus went to the cross at Calvary and gave his life for you. He completed his mission and is now seated at the right hand of the Father and waiting for us. We just read it, the church, the sons of God to manifest, to operate in what? Remember what he said, Jesus said to his disciples when they were in the boat, and they woke him up because they all thought they were going to perish. And he rebuked the wind, the storm died down, but what did he turn and say to them? Oh, ye of little faith, ye of little faith. They had within them the ability to take authority over that storm, over that wind, over those waves. But they didn't have revelation of it. We as a church, we need a revelation of the faith that is in us. Everything that we have need of is already available to us. We need to exercise our faith. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Is this encouraging you today? Or is it making you think? Or both? Praise God. You know, I think it was Jensen Franklin. Anybody ever listen to Jensen Franklin or know who he is? Big church down in Georgia. Cool little. Okay, I'm just going to take this little rabbit trail because it's so cool. We did a mission trip down to Peru years ago. How long has that been? I don't know, 10 years. We took all the kids with us, right? And we went down. They were called Amazon Medical Missions, and we got to get on a boat and travel the Amazon River and stop. I think I've told y'all, stop off with all these villages and all. Well, Jensen Franklin was the pastor of this couple that had been called to the Amazon and did this ministry. But I don't know why I shared that. But anyways, he was, and it was a very awesome time. The kids, I believe, impacted them tremendously. And guess what? Jensen Franklin has seed in my kids because he supports that ministry. He's their pastor. And we partook of that. Do you see how that works? Oh, man, that's good. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith." What does that mean? We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk not by sight or appearance. Let me read that again. For we walk by faith, and I'm taking my time with this because I want it to sink in. And that's why I'm sharing out of the Amplified. We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk not by sight or appearance. Regulate our lives. To me, that means every aspect of my life needs to be directed by faith. Can I put it that way? Every aspect of your life needs to be directed by faith. You don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's how important it is. Faith. We're talking about destiny. We're talking about ruling and reigning. Well, it takes faith to do that. It takes faith. It takes faith to do that. Church, it's time. I'm telling you, I know we talk about it a lot. We're going to keep talking about it until we see it. I am so tired, and I'm sure you are too, of a sick, anemic church, lifeless, that does nothing. It is time for us to rise up and take our place of authority. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He created mankind, Adam, Eve, to rule and reign, to operate in complete authority. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, if you identify with Jesus, you have that ability living on the inside of you, the very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, living on the inside of you to do just that. But if we're just coming together on Sunday, listen to some music, listen to somebody speak, walk out those doors, not changed, not equipped to help change others, then what are we doing? I don't want to be a member of a social club. There's enough of those out there to join. I want to be a member of a power club. I want to be a member of a body that believes that the Word is true and what the promises of God in this Word are true, and His answer is yes and amen to every one of them. That's why we got to get a picture of that. Man, if you didn't hear Reggie's messages, go back and listen to them. And I'm told he's got a third part, and I'm seeing how to incorporate all that in. I don't want to be anemic. I don't want to be lifeless. I want to be powerful, operating in the things of God, the way He intended it. Us having authority over the earth, us speaking to these things. I looked up the definition of anemia. It says a condition where you have two... This is interesting. I'm going to make a stretch with it, but it's interesting. A condition... This is just one of the definitions. I'm sure it's not all inclusive. But a condition where you have too few red blood cells and your body will not get enough oxygen because it is hemoglobin that binds the oxygen. And here's my stretch. I said an anemic church is one that doesn't understand what the blood of Jesus accomplished. Oxygen brings life to your organs, to your different body parts. So if the blood of Jesus is not flowing through the church, there's no oxygen getting to us, the parts, the body parts of the church. And we can't do what we're supposed to be doing. I hope that's not too far of a stretch for you. Because Jesus fulfilled the law and brought us back into right relationship with God. He provided the way for us to exercise our authority in earth, just as God gave dominion to Adam. We should have it now. I said, then Genesis, God gave an assignment to Adam, right? What was his assignment? To have dominion, to be fruitful, and multiply. Now Jesus has given us an assignment. to rule and reign, to preach the gospel, and make disciples. Dominion with Adam, rule and reign with us. Multiply with Adam, make disciples with us. What is making disciples? You're just reproducing yourself. You're reproducing Jesus in the earth. You're multiplying. And when you do that, when you make disciples, when you reproduce yourself, that's called being multi-generational. That means whatever you're reproducing is going to survive beyond your years, your term, your assignment, if you will. And remember, I pointed that out. Dan Foley shared those 6 points about your destiny. And one of those points was your destiny. Whatever God is calling you to do, it's going to be multi-generational. It's going to go beyond your years, go beyond your influence. Why? Because you are reproducing in someone else, and they carry that torch, and they reproduce, and then that person carries that torch. Do you see that? I mean, even successful businesses understand this concept. They understand that they have to reproduce themselves in business, or they're just a flash in the pan. And we've seen plenty of those in the business world. You've seen companies come and go. Why? Because they didn't have that concept. They don't have that longevity concept. And listen, we may be believing that Jesus is coming back tomorrow, and that's all right with me. But we need to be acting like he's tarrying. Does that make sense? We need to be going about the Father's business. You know, a lot of people, they sell themselves short because, oh, I'm going to be out of here. They're only responsible for themselves. You know? Oh, as long as I'm good with God, Jesus is coming back, I'm good. Whether he comes back tomorrow, whether I leave this earth, I'm good. But we can't be thinking like that. I don't think that's the mind of Christ. What did he do? He developed 12. And then those 12, it said those 12 turned the world upside down. What did they do? They went out and made disciples. Planted churches. That's what we're to be doing. Making disciples. Amen? Making disciples, which is simply reproducing Christ-likeness. Now, because of the blood of Jesus, he has breathed new life into the church. Somebody say, I am the church. Now turn to John. I don't think there's any Johns in here. Y'all didn't get that. Y'all are too serious. I can tell you're thinking, you're meditating. The Holy Spirit. Remember what I said when I opened up? The Holy Spirit can reveal something to you and reveal something completely different to the person sitting right next to you on the same Word of God. I believe that's happening today. I believe the Holy Spirit is revealing some things to some people, showing you some things. Showing you some things. Amen? John chapter 20. And let me read in verse 21. It says, then Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Just as the Father has sent me forth, so I am sending you. And having said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And then when the day of Pentecost came, there was a sound of like a mighty rushing wind, and clothing tongues of fire were seen resting on their heads, and they all began to speak in tongues. What were they speaking? The wondrous works of God. The wondrous works of God. That's when the power came to be witnesses. See, when we're going out, when we're to make disciples, we say it all, you don't have to rely in and of yourself and your talent, okay? It's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is where the power is. And turn to, this is another little sidebar, as we were talking about that and the gift of tongues, and I was sharing with you how we were sharing about the importance of it and how it can edify yourself, meaning your body, your mind, yourself, your whole complete entity of who you are. And then we shared that about when the day of Pentecost came and they were speaking in tongues and speaking of the wondrous works of God. And then the Holy Spirit took me to Luke 4, verse 18. What are the wonderful works of God? Well, it says here in 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus speaking here. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me, the Anointed One, the Messiah, to preach the good news. That's the wonderful works of God. To preach the good news to the poor, to announce release to the captives. That's the wonderful works of God. To announce recovery of sight to the blind. That's the wondrous works. To send forth as delivered those who are oppressed. That's the wonderful works. To proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord. That is the wonderful works of God. And this is the same thing we're to be doing. Same thing we're to be doing. And we have the power to be those witnesses in the world, because we have the very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead living inside of us, which is power to be witnesses in this earth. Amen? Power to be witnesses in this earth. We can't be an ambassador or a representative of Christ if we are weak and powerless, if we're anemic. We can't be. Anybody watch the news or follow politics, saw Nikki Haley, who is ambassador to the UN, U.S. ambassador to the UN, recently has stepped down. Anybody follow the very strong representative, ambassador. You know, that's why we call them ambassadors, right? So she is the ambassador to the United Nations for the United States. She speaks to the United Nations on behalf of the United States, and she is called an ambassador. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are speaking to the earth on behalf of Jesus as His representative. And that was a shock when she stepped down, because she's been doing a very good job and she's a very strong representative, and we need to be strong representatives for Christ in this earth. Amen? But how do we accept this? By faith. It's by faith. We're getting back to faith. You know, just because Jesus died, does that mean everybody's automatically saved, born again? Just because Jesus died, does that mean everyone's automatically victorious and mighty and powerful? No, no, no. When He died, it didn't make us victorious and powerful all by itself just because He died. Because if that was true, then the whole world would be saved, right? So no more than when He died, everybody became born again and in right relationship with God. No different did everyone become victorious and powerful and walking in that. It's no difference. But it is the revelation of Christ in you that makes you victorious, that causes you to rule and reign. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2, and I'll begin to wind this down, because I hope I've wound you up. It's the revelation of Christ in you that makes you victorious, that causes you to rule and reign. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. In Him I have shared His crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, the Messiah, lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by what? Faith. Faith in, by adherence to, and reliance on, and complete trust in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. It's no longer you that lives, but Christ in you. Christ in you. If you identify with Him, you have Christ in you. And that is why you can rule and reign in this life. That is why you can have complete authority over snakes, spiders, lizards, snails, worms, geese. I was wondering if you were going to get that one. Picking on my bride today, I'm sorry. We have complete authority over all of this creation in the earth. But we have to reign and rule and have authority by faith. By faith. We have to believe it. We have to receive it. When we hear it, we have to obey. And just like salvation, it's free. Jesus paid the price. He said, it is finished. But we have to make a choice to believe what His Word says, to believe His promises, to believe that the answer to His promises are yes and amen. Speak it into existence. Make your mouth align with your heart. So what's in your heart? What's in your heart? What is your mouth lining up with? What does the Word say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can tell what is in someone's heart just by listening to them. Listen to the words they say. Are they words to build up or words to tear down? Are they positive or are they negative? What's in your heart? Do you have the heart of a king? Do you have the heart of someone that has authority in this earth? Do you have the heart of someone that rules and reigns in their life? Do you have the heart of someone that rules their own house well? What's in your heart? What's in your heart today? Do you have a heart of compassion for the lost? Are you okay with just you being in right relationship? What's in your heart? The good news is the Holy Spirit will reveal it if you ask. He'll reveal it, and He'll reveal any change that needs to take place, or He'll bring encouragement in an area. What's in your heart today? Because I know what needs to be in our hearts. I do. But like I started with, that picture of the mosaic, we're all broken in some area of our life. We're all broken. But God can take those broken pieces, that brokenness, bring it together in a body. See, in a body, We're to love one another, right? Love one another. Despite our faults, despite our missteps, we're to love one another. Love one another. In spite of ourselves. Not judge, not look at a person for something they've done or what they're doing or who they associate with. I mean, hey, you got to be careful. Even Jesus said He was a friend of Sinners. He associated with sinners. Why? To bring life to them. Not for them to deposit on Him, but to change them. But if you're going to affect people, you've got to be around the people you need to affect. That's why marketplace evangelism is, I'm telling you, that's where it's at. That's where it's at. So, with that, I encourage you to meditate on these things. You are victorious. You are more than a conqueror. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath because of Jesus and what He did on Calvary. You are all those things and more. You got to believe that. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe it? Praise God.